The Compliance Perspectives podcast is sponsored by Protiviti, a global consulting firm serving the healthcare industry. Learn more at Protiviti.com. Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today are three guests. We have Asha Parmar, Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer for Conversant, Sharita Wilson, Director of Ethics and Compliance for Endo One Partners, and Ronnie Kahn, Head of Global Ethics and Compliance for Energizer. First, Asha, Sharita, Ronnie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Now, Asha, let me start with you. I reached out to the three of you having seen and really liking the title of your session at the Compliance and Ethics Institute, which was Rethinking Employee Engagement. What's on your compliance program's dating profile? Not exactly the typical title. How did the three of you come up with the title of your session?
Well, thank you for having us again, Adam. You know, I get the privilege of working with millennials and whatever comes after millennials, so I can't take credit fully for coming up with the title. But the sentiment behind it was, you know, are people really listening to you? Are you coming across as approachable? Are you engaging with your audience? Are you really wanting people to like you? And because a lot of people are in the online dating world, we thought it would resonate as to whether people are swiping left or swiping right to your compliance program.
Well, it's a great analogy for this era, certainly. Now, Ronnie, I think the underlying premise is a really great one, that the compliance team has to sell itself and make itself attractive to the rest of the organization. How does compliance get in its own way at times?
You know, one of the challenges and opportunities of being a compliance professional is that you have multiple hats that you get to wear. You know, you can build culture, you can build engagement, you can create compelling training and communications. But there's also a part, a necessary part of our job that involves investigations and understanding where things may have gone wrong and potentially disciplining employees at your organization. And it's that part of the job that I think can get in our own way. If that becomes our brand, if people start to see us more as the, you know, the police officer, the officer of no, there's countless memes probably that have been out there about the ways that compliance can go sideways. If that becomes our primary brand, then that's a problem. What we want to do is really position ourselves as a place to come for questions, a place to come for guidance, a place to come for help. So if we're able to focus on that area, I think we can help ourselves, you know, get out of our own way and support the organization much more effectively.
Now, when it comes to supporting the organization and for doing what you said, which is being a place where people can come for help, you have to think not just of one group of people, but, you know, the organization as a whole, but sort of the various different components of it. So, Sharita, if we're going to turn things around first, how do we make compliance more attractive to top management?
Well, I think the key to making it attractive to leadership really is to get their buy-in early. They tend to be more interested if you get them to commit early on in the process and keep it simple. Leadership really wants things to be easy and to understand how easy it is to use. So getting them to buy in early is critical in shaping any type of ethics and compliance culture. Also, sometimes you have to communicate the risk to them in their own language to get your point across. This might involve demonstrating a financial ramification for not addressing the risk properly, or you know, there's an old saying that says, if you don't have a line item in your budget for compliance, then you must have a line item for fines. So getting them involved early and communicating, I think, is the key.
And you know what? I got to admit, I've never heard that old saying before, and I think it's a terrific one because I think it really does make the point so well. And also, I got to agree with your point about the fact that you need to think more in their head about how they relate to issues to be able to communicate them better. So along those lines, Asha, what about rank and file employees? How do we make ourselves more attractive to them?
Yeah, you know, I think rank and file employees are the key to our program, right? They're on the ground, they're on the front line, they're the ones that see things that are happening, and we really need them to understand our risks and what we need them to look out for. And so I think really in two ways you make yourself attractive. One is one size doesn't fit all, right? That's why dating apps are so successful, is because there are different people, there are different profiles, and what's attractive to one person isn't attractive to others. And we have to take that approach with our compliance program, which is how do we meet people where they are in their understanding of compliance, in their receptiveness of compliance, and give them messages that are for them and not treat it like one size fits all. I also think it's a matter of just being approachable and being present. You know, my father used to tell me, you know how a person feels about you by the time they spend with you. And so we as compliance folks need to look at who we're spending time with. Are we showing them that we care about their business? Are we asking the right questions? Are we offering ourselves to help? Or are we simply running behind them trying to catch them do something wrong? So positioning ourselves as allies, as friends, and lastly, teaching employees as learners and not people that are there to be trained. We need them to engage in our program and want to learn what are the risks that they are helping us protect the organization from.
You know, as you were saying that, it spurred a few thoughts there. You know, most of people in business talk and complain about the amount of hours we spend in meetings. You know, in many ways for the compliance team, to your point about how much time people spend with us, the amount of time we spend in meetings with people outside of compliance may be a good measurement of how effective the program is and how engaged it is. And also, it may suggest to compliance people that as we talk to employees when they come in the door, one of the measures of how well you're doing is how long do they stay. You know, if somebody's in and out and trying to hit the door right away, you're obviously not doing well. But if you find that they're willing to linger and ask more questions and get engaged more, it's a good self-check for a compliance officer as to am I meeting their needs properly.
You know, if I can just add to that, there's a saying, Marshawn Lynch said, "I'm only here so I don't have to get fined." And, you know, are the people who are associating with us only here because so they won't get fined? Are they only taking the training because we've told them they have to? How do they engage with us and want to include us in their business because they know we help protect them and help protect the organization? That is a true testament of the effectiveness or attractiveness of our dating profile.
Absolutely. Now, Sherita, I have to ask about middle management, which is often seen as the most problematic level within the organization. You know, they're often squeezed between the goals that top management sets, the demands and often resistance of rank and file people, and they're the ones trying to balance it all out. And in that squeeze, they don't always have enough time to focus on compliance issues. How do we make ourselves more desirable to them?
Yeah, as we all know, middle management can either sink our ship or make us heroes, one or the other. The key I have found is to be collaborative. They are the ones that have a daily or have daily contact with all of the employees, most influential when it comes to culture and values and things like that within the organization. So what I found to be most effective is to collaborate with them, have them be a part of ethics and compliance, and have them help us grow the program, really is what is the key to dealing with middle management.
Hey, Adam, can I just jump in here real quick just to add to what's been said? You know, I love the wisdom of these different quotes. And you know, one of the other things that occurs to me is that, just to keep with the dating profile analogy, is, you know, the business has its own love language. And so as much as we can talk in terms of metrics and data and business impact and financial outcomes, use the metrics that they care about that resonate with them. You know, I think that's another way to engage with our leaders, whether they be at the rank and file level, the middle level, or at the senior most level. And so, you know, just building on what's been said already, the more we can put ourselves in their shoes, you know, speak their language on their terms, I think it's a net positive for all of us.
And well, Adam, I'm going to take it one more step further on the dating analogy, right? You want people to ask about you, right? If you go on your first date and that person just talks about themselves the entire time, like, that's not a good date. So, you know, do we ask about what the business is doing? Do we ask about what keeps them up at night? Do we care about the things that they are doing just as much as we care about the things that we want to do? And I think really with middle management, asking what's top of mind for them, what keeps them up at night, what are the goals they're trying to achieve, and how can we help you get there? Having that two-way conversation with middle management, I believe, is the most beneficial thing that we can do in our practice.
Well, and certainly, you know, if you're not in a conversation, people realize that, and nobody likes to be lectured to. We all want to be heard. And the more that you can demonstrate that you're listening, the better off you are for both being effective in terms of getting them to do what you want, but also understanding better what the situation is and what the real risks are there. Well, this was fascinating. I really appreciate your taking the time to do this conversation with me as well as to do this session. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspectives.